All right, listen, I'm going to jump into my next segment. And I'll wind up getting most of this after the break. But let me just tell you, Make America Great Again is an America First agenda. You are seeing things happening right now in real time that are, I mean, you're watching foreign policy things happen at breakneck speed that normally would have taken summits and long negotiations and the, you know, cables back and forth among, you know, back channels. And no, what we're seeing right now is mano a mano, President Trump standing toe to toe with other world leaders and going, you know what, we're just not doing that. So how about you fix it? And it's getting fixed. You remember the thing we had last week about, was it last week, Colombian president? Was that last week?
It was.
Yeah. The Colombian president was refusing to take in the criminals being flown, illegal immigrants being flown back into his country in the deportation process. And so Trump said, fine, guess what? You got some big tariffs coming. Oh, by the way, we're also rejecting your visa applications. And oh, by the way, we're going to be sending home your diplomatic officials. It didn't take until like an hour later for the Colombian president was not only on board with the plan and helping out, he was even announcing that he would use his presidential plane to help bring some of those prisoners home. Come on. Well, we had another one of those today. So, I mean, I've got so many stories here about America First, but I got to tell you, the tariff story seems to be override. And I'll be honest with you, does it make me a little antsy? It does. Not about Mexico. I could care less. I mean, go ahead and tariff the crap out of them. I know we have a big trade imbalance with them. They get more out of us than we get out of them. So go for it. Canada makes me nervous. Why? Because it's Canada. I mean, it's like, I don't know, it's like picking on your little brother or something. It's at some point you go, ah, bad form. But I also recognize what's happening. And I also trust the Trump administration right now to do what they were elected to do. And when I look at the fact that we have a multi-billion dollar trade deficit with Canada, our neighbors to the north, we are having fentanyl and illegals crossing that border at a larger scale than we had ever had before, although the southern border is the real talking point for that. But it's still happening in the north. And Canada's governance under Justin Trudeau is kind of like the, meh, we could care less. You're concerned down there, America? Meh, we could care less. They're so busy being liberal progressive that the idea of helping us with what we believe is a better agenda for America is like antithetical to common sense to them. Not no mo, we are looking at things happening. Now, Mexico was facing 25% tariffs on imports into America. All their American exports were going to wind up being sanctioned with 25% tariffs. It was going to have a dramatic impact on their economy. The Mexican president originally decided that Claudia Sheinbaum, by the way, I'm still trying to figure out how a Mexican president has the name Claudia Sheinbaum. That's like a Jewish grandmother from New York.
It does seem like it doesn't fit.
Where's Miss Sheinbaum? Ah, with the gefilte fish, eating the Sheinbaums that they are. Yeah. Yeah, Mashugana. I mean, that's what it feels like. Anyway, Claudia Sheinbaum. I may get slapped with a YouTube violation. I don't know what just happened.
Hate speech.
Anyway, but Trump's slapping tariffs on Canada, China, and Mexico as of tomorrow. I mean, like, no fooling. 25% tariffs on Canada and Mexico. 10% tariffs on China. I'm not sure why only 10% on China. Maybe they have more things that we need. We didn't want to screw that part. But the reality is, we have never seen this happen before. Has there been trade imbalance? Certainly. Have there been negotiations? Certainly. Has there been NAFTA and stuff like that where we've negotiated the opportunity for free trade across borders? Certainly. Has Mexico been hosing us for the last few years? Absolutely. Well, Mexico got a call. Donald Trump said 25% tariffs. By the way, they go into effect on Tuesday at noon. Sign the executive order. It's a done deal. It's going to happen. Suddenly, Claudia Sheinbaum wasn't going to be in the tariff war with America anymore. They had a phone call. Trump says it went very well. It was a very friendly call. President Sheinbaum came out and said, We're on board. We're going to be helping out. We're sending 10,000 Mexican troops to the southern border now to assist with blocking the illegal immigration traffic and to stop the drug trafficking across the U.S. border that are killing hundreds of thousands of Americans every year. So she made, so Sheinbaum made the announcement on her own social media, like 12 hours before the tariffs go into effect. She makes her announcement, says that Mexico is going to be all in on helping combat drug trafficking, says that this is happening like immediately, and also says, by the way, the President of the United States has assured her that the tariffs are now delayed by 30 days to let her get her plan in place. And Trump confirmed it. Y'all, if that's not an America first, make things happen agenda, I don't know what is. That happened like overnight. That didn't take a daggum UN-moderated giant summit with everybody sitting on opposite sides of the table. That was a phone call. That was an executive order followed by a phone call, and by God, it got something done. Have you seen this in recent years? No. All right, we got to take a break. I'm fired up about this one. I got a whole stack of this kind of stuff. Y'all are going to love this segment. America first. That's where we are. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, so we went to break. And literally, I told you right before the break, in terms of America first, that Trump had a phone call and fix things with Mexico, allegedly. They're going to put 10,000 of their Mexican troops on the southern border. They're going to be cooperating with immigration and drug controls. JP was telling me earlier that he saw where they arrested a major cartel kingpin. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt because it's Mexico, but dang, that's more than we've seen, right? And, oh, by the way, it caused Trump to be able to say, okay, great, then I'll hold off on these tariffs for 30 days. So that just happened. We went to the break, and shabam, the news broke like while we were on the break.
Like literally as Phil stopped talking.
Yeah, stopped talking. We went to the break, and I looked at the screen, and I went, he blinked. So Trudeau just blinked, and Canada is doing the exact same thing. In fact, we had to research it. It took a while to find the story because it's so fresh, but I'm looking at Reuters saying that, yes, U.S. President Donald Trump will postpone threatened tariffs on Canadian imports for at least 30 days, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau just recently said in a post on his Twitter feed. And then, JP, you found a more detailed of what it is that Canada is going to do to avoid the tariffs. What was that?
Yes, it says they're implementing a $1.3 billion, with a B, border plan, reinforcing the border with new choppers, technology, personnel, and such, and coordination with America. It said also there's going to be 10,000 frontline personnel to go to the border, like what Mexico did. In addition, Canada is appointing a fentanyl czar, and it said they will list cartels as terrorists, ensure 24/7 eyes on the border, launch a Canada-U.S. joint strike force group to combat organized crime, fentanyl, and money laundering. Says that he also signed a new intelligence directive on organized crime and fentanyl, and they'll be back into it with $200 million. So that's, yeah, that's a lot.
That just happened like pretty much overnight.
Yes, yeah.
Can I just point out how not hard that was?
Yeah.
What did we just do for the last 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I recognize that the Biden team were a bunch of globalists who did not want borders, and they were taking money from George Soros, even giving Soros a medal. Is open border society. But what we just witnessed is when you put America first and you say, okay, the overarching principle here is America first. So Mexico, fix yourself, or we're gonna double up on tariffs. Hey, Canada, by the way, yeah, you're our friend. We play hockey and baseball and all that together, but fix yourself, or we're gonna wind up having some tariffs and you're not gonna like it.
By the way, I think that proves they need us more than we need them.
Yeah, I think it also proves what happens when you have leadership, actual leadership at the helm. Right now, my God, America first. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We got more. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number three on a Meatloaf Monday. We are glad you are with us, and glad to see that the Right Side footprint continues to expand across this beautiful Southeast U.S. I'm talking about everywhere, Southeast United States. We're planning on just saturating the ground with Right Side ruffians out there doing the good deeds. But yeah, we're glad to add Auburn's WANI, 1400 AM, 98.7 FM to the fold, and look forward to a long relationship with them. So, America first. It's amazing what can happen when you actually put America first. I don't know. Maybe America actually wins. I mean, what's so striking about this is not just that it's happening, but that it's happening so fast, which clearly indicates it could have happened at any time. It's a leadership issue. That's exactly what's happening right now as you're watching leadership that puts America first say, I'm sorry, but I will not negotiate against my people. Fix it or else. And guess what they do? They fix it because they know or else is real. I mean, everybody knows that Trump has a history of saying what he means and meaning what he says. Iran, don't do that anymore. Oh, you did that? Okay, I killed Soleimani. I mean, that's he just does stuff. By the way, something that got hardly any attention because and this is the thing right now, y'all. The Make America First or Putting America First agenda is happening. There's so much of it happening at one time that like what would have been a big story gets lost sometimes. This one got lost. Did you hear about the seven prisoners released in Venezuela?
I did. I mean, it was short-lived, but yeah, I heard it initially when the news came out.
Short-lived, like...
Short-lived in terms of the headline. Like, it didn't get much of...
These are seven American citizens that were being held by Venezuela that nobody in the Biden administration even went and visited. Like, the consulate never even visited them. So, Rick Grenell... one of the former intelligence officials under the Trump first administration, he just went down to Venezuela, apparently met with President Nicolas Maduro, the socialist, and came back with seven or six Americans. Just like that.
And I didn't even know there were six American hostages down there.
And you look at this and go, my gosh, if this can happen like that, it's like it's just another weekend in the Trump administration. Hey, we're going to put tariffs on Canada. Oh, Canada's going to help us with the border now. We're going to put tariffs on Mexico. Mexico's going to help us with the border right now. We're going to send Rick down to Venezuela. What's he going to do? He's going to free some Americans who have been held prisoner by a foreign government. Really? Yep, six of them. Brought them home this weekend. He says, we are wheels up. This is the post that he put on his X page. He said, we are wheels up and headed home with six American citizens. They just spoke to real Donald Trump. In other words, the president talked to him too. So they just spoke to real Donald Trump, and they couldn't stop thanking him. Grenell posted a photo of himself leading the Americans out of the plane with the caption, we are home. God bless these Americans. I mean, this is... Oh, by the way, while he was there, he just went ahead and secured the agreement for Venezuela to repatriate its illegal immigrants that we send back. They're going to take them. Sure. Why not?
By the way, I'll add to the win list. I don't know if it's in your stack, but Rubio going to Panama.
I was going to get to that.
Yeah.
That is a good story. Mm-hmm. That's next. How much time we got? We're good.
We got nothing but time.
Listen, this is, okay. So, this is, are you tired of winning yet, JP?
I'm not.
All the winning. So much with the winning. I got speed wrinkles on my face from the winning blowing past me.
Where there's so much winning, I think we're forgetting more winning than happened during Biden's administration.
I thought we've already forgotten about Biden. Biden who?
Yeah.
Joe what? It's as if he was never here.
This is Trump's second consecutive term, right? I feel like if there was another president, I surely would have remembered anything that he did during that 4 years.
I just remember everything he screwed up. But yeah. At the same time, what I'm loving is that the real effort. I tell you what, I mean, I'm almost going off the cuff here, but I tell you one of the things that's really striking to me is we're watching campaign promises get fulfilled in real time. Like, not like, well, it's hard when you take office. You've got a lot to do, and I plan to get to that somewhere in the middle of my first term. It's just happening all at one time.
Yeah, and it's Democrats are surprised. It's almost like he campaigned on every single thing that he's doing right now. You ever told him what he was going to do?
You ever seen the old thing in the movies where like the bad guy or starts shooting at the feet of the person, making them dance?
Yes.
That's what's happening right now. Trump's got them dancing. I mean, you got Schumer out there holding up a bottle of Corona at a press conference going, this beer is going to be too expensive for Americans to buy. And before the press conference is over, Mexico has already capitulated and decided to help us with the southern border. This is nuts, man. All right, Panama. JP brought up a great story, which I'll be honest with you, I think is also flying under the radar. Would you agree?
100%, yeah. That's a big story.
It's a big story. So you heard, we talked about on the show pretty good bit the last couple of weeks, Trump wants the Panama Canal back. Hey, we built it. We sacrificed blood and treasure to build it. It changed the world economy. Ships are still built to fit to the Panama Canal that we built. And yet now, for some reason, we have Jimmy Carter gave the Panama Canal away, and we have to pay for rite of passage. 40% of all container ship traffic for the United States' economy goes through the Panama Canal. 40%. That's massive. It's a multi-billion dollar impact to the U.S. economy. Not only that, our force projection, our naval vessels travel through it, and they get charged millions of dollars per ship just to go through. It's unreal the way we're being treated at the canal that we built. Trump wants it back. Wants it back from who? Panama? Well, maybe. He definitely wants it back from China. China, you say? China. Because China has had negotiated trade agreements with Panama that give them the ability to run the operations of the canal. Now, let's think about this for a second. If we got into a hot war with China, or even a trade war with China, and China wanted to go ahead and just be belligerent, they could find reasons why, well, we're going to close the canal for maintenance. And next thing you know, everything we have is sailing down south around the Cape, or not at all. Or having to fly out, or having to go to western ports on California, which means more expensive rail and truck. I'm just telling you, the Panama Canal is a huge piece of our economy. Well, Rubio went to Panama. The brand spanking new Secretary of State Marco Rubio, fresh out the box. He just went on down to Panama, had him a discussion with Jose Raul Mulino, Panama's president, who then came out and announced that after meeting with Secretary Rubio, he was canceling all agreements with China.
Literally right after.
Woo! Can I have some applause or something or a boom? Or give me something over there, man. That's all of it. During his visit, Rubio put a post on X. He said, the United States cannot and will not allow the Chinese Communist Party to continue with its effective and growing control over the Panama Canal area. And so, yeah, Panama just announced they are ending the Belt and Road Initiative that China has been extending to them for the last, I don't know how many years, and said they will not be renewing their 2017 memorandum with China. And that is going to bring, basically, the Panama Canal back under Panamanian control. And I suspect there's going to be something in the background that says, oh, by the way, America's going to have a good slice of the action. What do you think?
I think so. Which, by the way, can I just say, obviously, if they offered it up, Trump would take it, but I don't think Trump was truly negotiating to get the Panama Canal back. I think he was negotiating for this right here, at least get China out of it. And it's the sort of strategy, like I said, where he starts at the extreme and works backwards. You know, I think this is having China out of it is the main result he wanted. Yep, I mean, if Panama was like, hey, take Panama, take it back, he would take it, obviously, but I think this is what he was truly, you know, shooting for and wanting.
And there's going to be something in there that benefits Panama. You watch. And I don't mind that. Something in there that benefits Panama and our relations with them, we're going to wind up, I don't know, having some kind of a trade agreement with them, assisting them with, you know, parts and supplies and maintenance or whatever else for the canal. Who knows? Maybe we won't demand that they lower the cost of our rite of passage fees that we spend. I don't know. All I know is China's leaving. And it was one visit.
Yeah.
One.
I mean, like,
Rubio flew down there.
I don't say this exact, like, I'm not being exaggerative. I'm being dead serious. I don't think I've ever seen a government be so effective, like, at all. Like, the whole bureaucracy of everything has a process and due time. We have to sit around at a table and discuss things. And it's like, nah, just make a trip down and, well, I mean, we're the United States of America. Why can't we do that, you know?
That's right. We can rest in 4 years.
Yeah. It's awesome to see. No, I'm not tired of the winning. the clip of Trump in 2016 is like, you'll get tired of the winning. There'll be so much winning. You say, I can't handle the winning.
I mean, just today. What have we seen in the last 24 hours? Let me do a recap for the break. In the last 24 hours, the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem went down to the border and rode with the horse patrols on the southern border. Today, the Secretary of Defense went down there with the border czar, Tom Homan, and made an appearance on the southern border. Over the weekend, Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, went to Panama, got China kicked out, and won us passage rights that we didn't have before on the Panama Canal. Rick Grenell, who I'm not even sure what position he has right now, but he's like an emissary, he went down to Venezuela, freed six Americans, and got it worked out to where Maduro's not going to refuse to take back the illegal immigrants we shipped back to him. And then Canada caved, and then Mexico caved, and then the tariff war ended in 12 hours. I mean, what the heck, man?
That doesn't even talk about DEI the week before.
Oh, my gosh.
It's, yeah, so much winning.
So much winning. We're just barnstorming right now.
Yeah.
You know what? This is where, like, if you were on the basketball court, it's a full court press.
Mm-hmm.
This is a full court press. The coach didn't even say pace yourself. He just said, press it. And that's what they're doing. We're taking a break. We're taking a break right now. Whew. By the way, I just said everything I know about basketball strategy right there.
It was dead on, so there you go.
We're taking a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. So I will say this before I jump into the next piece of America First is, in terms of more than just the trade negotiations and all that, there is an article on Red State came out yesterday saying that Trump is unloading on the UK and the EU over unfair trade practices. So they're next to the crosshairs. Apparently he's looking at Great Britain. He goes, the EU has taken advantage of us. We have over a $300 billion deficit. They don't take our cars. They don't take our farm products. They take almost nothing and we take everything from them. And then he says the UK is out of line, but I'm sure that can be worked out. So what he basically did was he pointed at the UK, but then he said, we can work on something. $350 billion trade deficit with the EU. Work it out, man. They're watching. By the way, do not mistake for a second what is happening. The low-hanging fruit was Mexico, Panama, Venezuela, maybe even Canada, but the rest of the world is watching. The EU is a bigger ticket, and the EU, they'll negotiate, but the EU is a whole bunch of factions all in one. And so what's happening right now on the world stage, the rest of the world is watching and they're seeing it. And they're like, holy crap. He's like blazing a trail. He's like Sherman marching to the sea right now. Tom Homan, by the way, who happens to be one of my favorite people. There may come a day when some of these folks fall from grace with me, but they have yet to do it. It's only been 10 days. I feel like they've been in office for a year. Does it feel that way?
Yeah, it does.
Border Czar Tom Homan, Daily Wire, has his piece, came out yesterday. Homan announced staggering drops in illegal border crossings. He says, we got the numbers this morning. This is during a Sunday morning Fox interview. He says, we got the numbers this morning. The crossings on the border are down 93%. 93% drop in 10 days. Do you understand what that means? I mean, he says, we've achieved success on the border already. We got more work to do. And as far as deportations, he said, we've arrested about 5,000 in the first week, and the majority of them are criminals. He said the non-criminals the media were talking about were arrested in sanctuary cities because the sanctuary cities forced us into the communities rather than letting us walk into the jails and take bad guys. He says, you want to be a sanctuary city, you're going to get more agents. Wow. Wow.
Well, just speak. I hate to bring him back up. But
oh, what did you? What? What?
I wonder if that's going to be the case in Birmingham. If they're, you know, if Winfield's going to declare Birmingham a sanctuary city, if we're going to see the similar thing happen there.
I got to look back, but I'm almost positive the state legislature addressed that issue in the last couple of years. Well, I could be wrong.
Let me rephrase. Him declaring, whether it is or not, him declaring that it's a sanctuary city and him not being cooperative, I wonder how that's going to. We could see the same thing going on in Birmingham.
I don't know. I'll tell you who else is on notice. Bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
Cartels are now labeled as terrorist organizations. And then here's something else. Did you know over the weekend we attacked ISIS?
I did see that, yeah.
Okay. Because most Somalia, of the world doesn't.
Right?
Yeah, Somalia, yeah. President Trump, New York Post, Dateline Saturday. President Trump directed a military attack on Saturday on a high-ranking ISIS leader and his cohorts in Somalia, sending a resounding message to terrorists the world over in his second week in office. Just whacking them, man. Just taking a big stick. He says, this is a quote from Trump. These killers who we found hiding in caves threatened the United States and our allies. The strikes destroyed the caves they live in and killed many terrorists without harming civilians. He said the message to ISIS and all others who would attack Americans is, all caps here, we will find you and we will kill you. This is Wyatt Earp stuff right now.
That's a lot more intimidating than Biden and Kamala saying, don't. Don't.
Don't.
Don't.
Don't.
And then they did every single time.
And then they looked at it and go, well, we told you don't, so now we're telling you again, don't.
We're going to tell you in a meaner way this time,
it's
don't.
It's don't. It's like lots of don'ts.
Except Trump actually kills him, you know.
Trump is doing the whole Wyatt Earp. I mean, you have seen Tombstone.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Trump is doing the whole Wyatt Earp. You tell him I'm coming and hell's coming with me. That's where we are right now.
Yeah.
We're going after the Cowboys. Anybody who wears a red sash, I shoot them on sight. That's where we are. That strike, by the way, took out ISIS operatives in the Kalmaskad Mountains in the Bahia region in the war-torn eastern African nation. Okay, bottom line is Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth said multiple terrorist operatives were killed, further degrading ISIS's ability to plot and conduct terrorist attacks. I mean, you know what it also shows? It shows we know where they are.
Yeah.
And they're not able to hide. Okay, we didn't even get into Musk and Doge. We're going to have to do some Musk and Doge when we get back. Because Doge, who let the Doge out, man? There's going to be a theme song now.
That's the first time I've heard that, actually. Who let the Doge out?
All right, it's mine. I blame it. Who let the Doge out? All right, we're going to come right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there. You are listening to Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right.
And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. I'm talking about y'all from Huntsville to Chattanooga, from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden, down yonder in that prettiest little town on the plains in Auburn. And oh, by the way, big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. All right, so we're gonna keep going here. I'm gonna be getting into the Doge here in just a minute because Doge made some news. Who let the Doge out? That's what I'm saying. And we just saw Elon Musk just like basically freak out the Democrats. I mean, the Chicken Littles have the sky falling left and right. And I'll talk about that more in a minute. Let me go to the phones first of all. That'd be Jeff Rowe from Indiana. Hey man, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, but you know where I'm at.
Oh, you're doing pretty good, even though you're in the turnstile of non-moving, right?
It's moving right along.
Well,
for now.
Well, good.
I'm not gonna count my chickens yet.
Well, but, what you think about all this stuff, man? Is it too much winning? What are we doing?
Can you imagine where we'd be at now if Harris would have won, or if they put Joe Biden back in?
The only thing about it is I'd have plenty to talk about on the show, but I'd rather talk about the winning.
Well, you got plenty to talk about now because Trump's moving so fast, you can't keep up with the story.
I'm literally not able to get to all the material I have today. I've got a whole dipper I won't even get to, and I'm not even going to get to half of this one. And I haven't even touched text messages in the last 45 minutes. This is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, you remember when George Bush was in there and they always had the little thing here, are you missing me yet?
Yeah.
I really did miss Trump so bad. I mean, it's been such a fiasco the last 4 years. Who'd have ever thought it could have got that low and now to come back to this high?
I know, and I'll be honest with you, if we didn't have the House and the Senate to back it, we'd still be getting a lot of this done, but we'd have a whole lot more trouble. And so I'm just glad that as narrow as the majorities are, that we've got the House and Senate to work with as well.
I'm just hoping this is an education for the American people, because
if
they don't learn from this, they're just too dumb to learn, I guess you'd say. But how long do you think it'll be for Ukraine and Russia conflict's over? I give 6 months myself.
I'd say in the next 6 months you're going to see. I bet you're going to see a negotiated agreement starting in the next 90 days, and I bet you within 6 months they will have stabilized into whatever their new status quo is going to be.
Yeah, I believe the conflict will be over because we're not going to keep sending money over there to kill more people, and basically, and Russia is going to be under so much pressure and stuff that they're going to have to, you know, to buckle up, you know, otherwise they're going to basically destroy themselves.
Yeah, I mean,
economically anyway.
Well, they already are. I mean, they've had the massive losses, and economic sanctions have hurt them. But here's the thing. When Trump really gets the American energy sector back online and people who've been buying from Russia realize they have an alternative and all we have to do is undercut them on the market and then ship it to them, they're going to quit buying Russian oil and gas. And all of a sudden, Russia's economy is going to take a major hit. And the only way they can survive is to reach an agreement with the United States. And they don't want to do it, but they will.
Yeah. And as far as even the hostage negotiations and everything, you know, Biden was sending pallets of cash over, you know, and stuff,
yeah.
And sending, you know, a 1,000 to 1, you know, for hostages and everything. Now we're going to have them be going, please, sir, take back our hostages, and if you want, we'll pay you reparations for them or something.
Absolutely. Why not? Let's go ahead. By the way, can we get Hezbollah to go ahead and pay us and Hamas to pay us while we're at it? I mean, it'd be great.
I can't believe they haven't announced that all the hostages in the West Bank in Gaza has come back yet, because that's coming, I'm afraid, because I don't think things are happening fast enough, to tell you the truth.
No, and that's going, and by the way, the way they're releasing them is also maddening to watch. I mean, the way that they are abusing those prisoners, even on the way out the door, crowds swirling around them, screaming at them, trying to slap them as they go by, I mean... And Netanyahu is beside himself, but who's the very first international head of state visit that's coming to the White House? Netanyahu. So that should send a bold signal. Yeah, I would too. But that's going to send a bold signal to the Middle East that, Trump could have invited anybody, but he invited Netanyahu first. All right, brother. I got to go get some stuff done here. What you got? Go ahead.
Win's all I can say. Have a good one, Phil.
All the winning. See you, man. I got to cover this story a little bit on Musk and Doge, and then I've got to get some text messages. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. That's the number. Text it or call it. Same number for both. But let me jump on this Musk USAID thing, and I will just go ahead and be very honest and tell you that I have no love for USAID anyway. And I have seen massive amounts of liberal screaming hyperbole. Don't you understand? The world is saved because of USAID. I mean, this is apparently where the Messiah parks on the weekends. I did not know that. But USAID has like a $40 billion amount of appropriations just in the last year that they can dole out in international aid. Now, some of it goes to good stuff. I do agree. Some of it goes, I mean, if you're vaccinating children in the Sudan, okay, that's important. And when other governments are stable, we don't have to go fight or defend issues or deal. I get it. Some of those things are important. A lot of them are not. A lot of them are waste, fraud, and abuse. A lot of them are just crap. When it came out last week that millions and millions of dollars were being set aside to send condoms to the Taliban. What? Listen, I said earlier in the show, USAID, when I was in Afghanistan at the beginning of the war, I was on a remote team in the middle of nowhere. And part of my job, aside from, you know, combat ops and negotiating things with the local governance that we were helping stand up, was to try to bring some measure of relief to the area. And we would do what we called impact projects. And we would get schools rebuilt or, you know, pay local contractors to do things. And then USAID would come swoop in once in a while. I think twice while I was there. For a year, living among the Afghan people, USAID would make known through our headquarters they'd like to come out to our area, which meant that everything we did had to come to a stop so we could protect them while they flew out there and made promises they couldn't keep. I saw it happen more than once. I'll never forget one of them. He was going to help the farmers in that area. They were going to build, they're going to put a lot of money. Oh, it's going to be great. All of you local leaders understand we're USAID. We're going to put a lot of money into helping your agrarian society here to rebuild itself. Should have you some money in the next couple of months. All I know is the local warlord kept asking me where it was. And all I could say was, sir, I have no idea. That was USAID. That was not me. But USAID has become a cesspool of waste, fraud, and abuse. Do they do some good things? Of course they do. But they take money and they send it to inane things around the world while we've got people in North Carolina still living in tents because Hurricane Helene wiped out their house. We're sending money for condoms to Gaza and to the Taliban in Afghanistan. Well, the Department of Government Efficiency, basically, it's almost like they staged a raid. You know what it feels like? It's almost like they staged a raid on USAID's offices.
Well, they even did a Twitter space last night at midnight to give people a rundown of all the progress they made so far. So not only are they doing a raid, but I mean, they're up working late at night.
Yeah.
Where, you know, the Biden administration, they all went to bed with Biden, I think.
They put a lid on the day at like 3 p.m.
Yep.
I will say this. There was a piece, Wired Magazine, which is, you know, in the tech industry magazine. Wired Magazine has, quote, identified six young men, all apparently between the ages of 19 and 24, according to public databases. Their online presences and other records, who have little to no government experience, are now playing critical roles in Department of Government Efficiency. Somebody grabbed that statement and tweeted out, which Elon Musk, I'll tell you what he said in a minute. Somebody tweeted out about that. Elon has six Adderall-fueled autistic tech bro-zoomers sleeping overnight at the Doge offices working 24-7 to maximize government efficiency. Six Adderall-fueled autistic tech bro-zoomers sleeping at the Doge office, grinding it out.
I trust them more than anyone in the Biden administration.
Musk grabbed hold of that tweet himself and retweeted it and said, not many Spartans are needed to win battles. But yeah, they did. They went in. So first of all, there are, I want to say, 56 members. More than 50 senior USAID staff members placed on administrative leave and subjected to gag orders. The top two security chiefs at USAID were put on leave after refusing to turn over, in this case, classified material, which I got to be honest with you, it's still classified material. Now, how classified can USAID be? I get it. They're going to have some classifications. They're going to, but surely to goodness. They're not, I mean, if there's black money, it's not coming through USAID except, you know, in what they call a NOC status, in a way that can be non-attributed to the United States intelligence agencies. But it's amazing that this just happened. I mean, this is Trump operating at the speed of light right now. And Doge, you look at it and go, did Elon just get out of hand? Did Elon just step in places where he wasn't supposed to go? Nope. President Donald Trump complimented Musk's decision-making on Sunday when he was asked about the USAID on the tarmac at Joint Base Andrews. When he was asked, was he delivering on his promises? He said, yeah, I think Musk is delivering on his promises. He's a smart guy. He's doing a good job. He's a big cost cutter. Sometimes we won't agree with it. Don't want to go where he wants to go, but I think overall he's doing a great job cutting the budget. Y'all. So much winning. You got to find that audio clip, by the way.
Which, by the way, talking about Elon, I'm tired of seeing like people like AOC crying, saying, nobody voted for Elon to win the country.
Yes, they did.
I did. I 100% part of my, I mean, I was going to vote for Trump anyways, but I fully was okay and endorsing Elon coming in and cleaning house like he is right now. So, yeah, I did. I'll raise my hand and tell you 100% I voted for this.
We knew about Doge before we voted, cast our votes.
Yes.
And we already knew where it was headed. And the Chicken Littles in the Democrat Party are having a complete come apart right now. Well, they didn't get to do much when it came to Mexico's tariff war or Canada's tariff war, because those both went on hold within 12 hours.
Yeah. Not a long-lived tariff war or trade war.
So right now, all they can scream about is Congress should have the final say in what happens to USAID. Congress ain't gonna. Congress never would. And so what's going to wind up happening is the guy who writes the checks, which is Trump, the guy who writes the checks is going to say, hold off on spending any of that money until I see what it is. And then he's going to bring out a list and he's going to say, this, 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 and this makes no sense whatsoever. And then Congress has a chance to go, woo, you're right. Let's revise that appropriation and reallocate those funds to something more meaningful, like, I don't know, FEMA. All right, listen, we're taking a break right now. We will take that break. We'll come right back. I got some text messages I got to get because you guys are prolific texters today. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.